Steve, can we start with a quick look back at the weekend? When you consider that second half display and maybe compare it to some of the other victories you've had this year, is it the best you've had so far this year, do you think?
I possibly don't think it was the best. I think we've had some really super performances, as strange as it sounds, perhaps even some of the better ones. We've not gone on to win the game. It's quite difficult, you know, football at times to work it out, but we're obviously very pleased. We weren't happy with the first 10, 12 minutes of the game, and you know, we weren't happy for the first 10 minutes of the second half. But outside those two periods, which is like 20 minutes in the game, then we have to be delighted, because we're passing was up there with the best of them, our regains was up there with the best of them of the season, which is winning the ball back from a good Ipswich Town team, because the longer they've got the ball and the more they've got the ball, the more they like to hurry, to hurt you. So from our point of view, there's a lot of pleasing aspects, plus, of course, the points.
Can you talk to us about the dynamic between your two central midfielders, Smallwood and Green, and why that has become quite a good combination for you?
Well, I think first and foremost, they're both experienced at the level, and for me, both have got lots of miles on the clock. I think young Richie Smallwood came from Middlesbrough, where he played a bit part, to be fair, but you can understand it when you look at the options that Ita's got up at Middlesbrough. And Paul Green, for the last two or three years, has been at some top clubs. But again, he's played a bit part, hasn't he? So he's got a lot of miles on the clock, and he's got a lot of miles to give. So from that point of view, we just think they complement each other. Both have got a different style to the game. Richie is obviously the more defensive-minded of the two. And Paul Green, I think, covers every blade of grass and every pitch that we play.
I think when you speak to any of the managers in the region, we seem to be talking about the same thing. It's trying to find goals and a real potent, whether it's a striker or a strike force. In Salmon and Derbyshire, have you really stumbled across a partnership that just is really hurting teams right now?
Well, I wouldn't think we stumbled across it.
I'll give you a bit more credit then, yeah. Steve. Have you managed to work together to find this good partnership?
Well, I think we've found some players that score a goal. We've always known Derbyshire could score a goal. We've just been waiting for it to happen, and we had to be patient, and long may it continue. It should be 3-3, of course, because all bar an atrocious decision from an assistant referee at Charlton, it's 3-3, isn't it? And Conor Salmon, you know, didn't have his best games, I don't think, against Ipswich. But the thing that I love about these two guys is their work rate complements each other, because they work so hard. And I know one of the Ipswich Town centre-backs personally, and I had a little chat with him on Sunday, and he said, you know, you're talking about Conor Matt Derbyshire. He said, I don't think we've been run into so many channels and running behind as much as we did from you two guys. And that sheer effort and determination to succeed. And of course, when they're both scoring on top of that, then it's a real asset. But I also like to think Danny Ward's got a big part to play. We brought Danny Ward here on a permanent contract because we believed he would play a part, and we think he will. And he must scratch his head after Charlton. He came on and helped turn the game and was excellent and scored a goal, but we decided to go with the other two guys. But I thought Wardy come on Saturday was good. And Jordan come on, he misses a one-on-one, which every player in the country can do, but I thought he came on with a bit of purpose. So the four strikers look as if they want to play.
You were always very consistent in your support of Derbyshire when there were a lot of critics there. I just wonder, was there ever a point when you almost did give up on him?
No, never. I've left him out at times, and I've left him on the bench as he knows. But I've always been first to call on him if we needed a goal, and even games that we've lost, he's come on and perhaps missed a chance or two. But the one thing that always was in my mind is that Matt Derbyshire is the one player that was perhaps missing chances for us. He keeps getting into positions, and if you believe in somebody enough, you think, well, one of these days that little bit of lady luck that you need turns, and you get a goal. And the match worked ever so hard. He's done extra sessions and all the bits that it takes. And there was nobody more pleased for me than the Matt Derbyshire on Saturday to see a Miller support to a man, including our chairman, stand and applaud him off. Then the kid was deserving of that because he's been hurting.
Does it sort of encapsulate the fact that he did get that standing ovation, the way that he has turned it around, that all of a sudden the fans can see what he brings to the table now?
Yeah, I think when they see a goal or two, but they see the effort and determination and the what rate that the front two are putting in. I think you can always put up with a striker missing a chance because they miss chances. That's what happens in football. But the one thing that Steve Evans says never had is a player don't work hard. We can't afford a luxury player. We've never been, my teams have never been that good in any league where you can have luxury. You know, my previous club at Crawley, we broke every record in non-league football. But the hardest two working strikers were Barnett and Tubbs in the league. And it's the same, You know, if you look at last season with, like, Alec Ravel, who was the hardest working striker in the league, and I think Connor's perhaps even taken that work rate and determination to a different level from Revs, which is great for us. And we've got, when you've got Matt Derbyshire working as hard as he does and getting a goal, then it's great.
Are we seeing the best side of Ben Pringle recently as well? Because at times this year he's shown the flashes he's capable of. Are we seeing a more rounded Ben Pringle, maybe a Pringle who has adjusted to the Championship now?
Yeah, we hope so. I mean, Ben had to settle himself down, didn't he? He was, you know, all these young men all have agents in their ears, and if it's not Millwall, it's Real Madrid. You know, everybody wants to sign him, and you know, and I know that won't always be reality. But agents are agents, and they only ever make money when they move a player. They don't make money when a player stays at a club. So it's obvious what's been going on. But Ben settled down when he didn't want to go to Millwall, and we take great pride in that, because I think Millwall's a great football club, and Ben didn't want to pursue that. So, but he's starting to get more of the ball. He's starting to influence games more, and we're starting to get the ball to him more. But that's if the team's stronger. I've always said to play Ben Pringle in his best position, you have to have a strong team. We're a strong team now in the Championship.
Because he is a top player on his day, isn't he, Ben Pringle?
Oh, he's the, in my opinion, from left side, he's the best crosser of a ball in the Championship. But you have to get him into the positions, or he has to get himself into the positions. And I think he went through a little phase where it just seemed as if he was tired, maybe, and it was a yard down in his game. And perhaps we have to look at ourselves and say, we want to get him the service either. So it becomes a complete combination. But Ben Pringle is an outgoing young man, and he's never shy to say a word or two, but he's also a confident boy, and you need to love him. I've always loved him, and I said to him this morning, let's get this game out of the way at Blackburn, and then he can buy me a coffee.
In terms of the health of the squad, how is Jack Hunt? Is he back to 100% now?
Yeah, he's good. I mean, Jack was free of any situation on Saturday in his body, and trained Sunday on his own at a programme that we're giving him, and was back in with the group today, and never looked as if he's been away. Of course, it takes a day or two perhaps to get over a virus like that, but he's so impeccably fit, Jack, then he'll be the coach tomorrow for Blackburn.
You've picked the same team for three games in a row, and really the players haven't given you any reason to change it, Steve, have you? How do you balance out sort of sticking with a winning team and picking a side that you might think is the best to win this game?
Well, you mean, you try, if a team wins a match, that goes a big tick in the box, but there's other factors, of course, and the factors that we've looked at, obviously we're playing Bolton at home, Charlton at the Valley, and of course Ipswich, and we looked at those oppositions and we thought, right, that system and that style of play works. Whether that's going to be the situation at Blackburn tomorrow, Gary will find out about 6:45. He won't find out before, but as we spoke to the staff this morning, and there's one or two of the staff thinking perhaps that two or three fresh legs might help, and two or three, you know, little tweak of changes may happen, but we'll see tomorrow.
You do have options, though, don't you? You've got options, perhaps would it be fair to say, now that maybe you didn't have a few weeks ago?
Listen, I said when we went into the transfer window that the objective was to be stronger when we come out. We've reduced the numbers, so we've made the squad, everyone in the squad can play. Everyone in the squad has a chance to play every game we play. And I said we'd be stronger when we left the window. Listen, you need to know nothing about football not to think we're considerably stronger. I looked at my bench on Saturday. I could have called on, you know, Hamill. I could have called on Bowdy, which I did. I could have called on Ward. I could have called on, you know, Kirk. I could have called on a number of players, Rob Mewson, Lee Frecklington. It would have been impossible not to bring Frecklington straight back into the group early in the season. And he's sitting on the bench because Green and Small would have been stunning.
Do you think that there's maybe a comparison between where Bowery's at right now and maybe where Derbyshire was a few weeks ago? I mean, when he comes on, he's got that great chance at the end. You think he's going to cap off a great day with a goal, and it just doesn't fall for him. And that was similar to Derbyshire, wasn't it, in the start of the year?
Yeah, listen, I think the kid's, when you see it, the kid's very unlucky, isn't he? He's done everything right. And not many times where you see a goalkeeper save it and it bounces into the ground and then bounces over the bar. He's very unfortunate not to score, but we always said when we signed Jordan, we'd expect the best from Jordan in season 15-16, not 14-15, the same with young Jono. So from that point of view, we have a half an idea what we're doing inside the football club, and not everything can be for today. Some things have got to be for mañana.
I know that you've said that you've not got the biggest squad, have you? And maybe before the transfer window closed, there was one or two options you were looking at there. Now the loan window's reopened. Do you make a few calls? You know, how are you approaching this?
Well, we have the smallest squad in the Championship. Say it as it is and do your stats and let your listeners...
You're telling me off, Steve?
No, I'm saying when I hear, you know, you're looking at Wednesday, who have 28 and 29 players, and I think Stuart will still be recruiting. You look at Nigel down the road, I know it's League One, but I think they've got 30, 31. We've got 19. Count them. Mm-hmm. Take them off. And but we're hoping to do one or two bits of business. Nothing for Blackburn. You know, our squad is trained us this morning and we shaped up and we're ready for Blackburn Rovers as we are.
So you have the smallest squad in the Championship. You would like to maybe make one or two...
Listen, we've got the smallest squad, but for me, it's the strongest we've ever had. And it's pack quality. And we've options. And you know, it's a strange saying, but we don't want too many options. We don't want too many unhappy players not playing, you know. And people have to understand, and this group does understand, that if you have the shirt and you deliver a performance and you deliver within the system, then you probably, chances are, you'll keep on to that shirt. If not, you make step back to the bench, but you're next to go back in again. That's the way we want to keep it. So when we say we're looking to add to the squad, be one or two. We'll still be the smallest, but it doesn't mean we're the weakest, is it? Because we're stronger than a lot of them. Mm. And that's because of the quality that we've been afforded to sign.
Let's look at the next game then. Blackburn, everybody expected them to be there or thereabouts at the end of the season. They're still very much pushing for promotion, aren't they? How do you see this test?
Well, I watched the full match of their defeat at Watford on Saturday. And I think the Watford players and staff turned up with balaclavas on Saturday at 5-3 because Blackburn were terrific and should have comfortably won the game. And it has to be said, the boy Gomez and the Watford goal, who was absolutely stunning earlier in the season at New York Stadium and stopped us being 6 or 7 up on one occasion, it was the same again. So he's obviously creating he's playing at a top level, but he's creating a lot of points for Watford. But Gary probably left Watford on Saturday shaking his head that they've no win that, and not just win it very, very comfortably. So he's got multiple options. He's got a terrific squad of players. He's a manager that took over that club when it was really heading in one direction, which was down. He stabilised it, and he's given a fantastic football club a platform to build on. And they are one of the clubs for me who can still break into that top six.
Are their threats pretty obvious, Steve, when you look at their squad?
Well, when you look at, they could put the boy Gustetti on the bench on Saturday, and he's one of the best around, isn't he? But I think when you look at the options they've got, I think as soon as you see a team sheet that has Jordan Rhodes on it and it says Gustetti on it, and I could probably, you know, Grant Hanley, I could probably name the team now what I think Gary will go with. And it's just sheer full of quality players, but that's why I think they might break into the top six.
Mm. When you look at a player like Rhodes in particular, Scottish international, is there a more natural finisher in this division than him?
No, I think he's the best natural finisher. I think every manager that I've ever come across would always accept if you're a team that can make chances and you've got Jordan Rhodes in your camp, he'll score a goal. But so will Gustetti, you know. But I have to. We've got Matt Derbyshire to score a goal. We've got Conor Samenot to score a goal. And but you know, we're playing against a team tomorrow night. Of course, the former Premiership champions. Maybe now. A little while ago now, but their expectations are very high. They've been in particularly good form, reasonably sharp form at home at Ewood Park. And our task is difficult tomorrow night, but we go there in good form. I think our league results, if people would check the last 10, 11 games, we've not lost many in too many occasions. And from that point of view, we're ready to go and we'll get in the trenches and we'll fight for everything we can get.
After the game on Saturday, Matt Derbyshire was talking about his love for the club, Blackburn Rovers. He's a fan of the team, started out there, played there. Is that something as a manager that you can use in terms of man management to sort of motivate him to go out there and perform in a game like this?
No, I don't think so. I think if I ever was good enough to manage a team against Glasgow Celtic, I'd want to win that game more than any other, wouldn't you? Mm. It's against the club that's inside you. Matt Derbyshire is well known to everyone, is that he's born and bred a Blackburn Rovers fan, and of course he was very fortunate to wear the shirt there and have so many happy memories scoring goals for the fans up there. But you know, footballers are such that there becomes an inner thing that you want to go, and you'll probably want to say to Blackburn, hey, my name's Matt Derbyshire, I might be a fan, but I can score a goal. And you know, nothing would please us more than Matt getting a winner tomorrow night, and I think nothing would please him more. But you never take away his love for Blackburn Rovers, it would be wrong to say that.
What kind of an achievement would 10 points from 12 be in a division as tight as this?
Well, it would be better than 9 from 12. It would be better than 8 from 12 or none from 12. It's a real tough environment. You know, we have three of our next four league matches are away from home. So it's a real tough spell for us. We acknowledge that, you know, when you, we always look at games as managers and in little knots of three or four games, and when you say we go up to Ewood Park to play to face Blackburn Rovers, and then we follow that way home to Derby County, then we go to Wolves and Watford. These are the reasons that we, Chairman said on Saturday morning, these are the huge reasons why we knew what Wembley win over Leighton Orient in the playoff final meant to us all. We knew these games were coming, and as far back as July, I said in the media that just look at the month of February, if people want to have an idea of what the Championship means to Rotherham United, we're in the month of February.